I believe that God wants to speak to us about breakthrough. But we first have to understand who we are, where we are. And when he comes to us, do we ask one question? Is this me? Is this me? Last night we had the opportunity to be at a memorial service for a dear friend of mine who is a pastor in this city. Pastor Jimmy Robles and Annette Robles of Last Chance Ministry, they lost their daughter, 19 years old, in a car crash. Very, very tragic. We went to the memorial service last night. Those of you that have children, when you hear of that type of tragedy, you usually put yourself in their shoes, also your children and the ones that have gone. And it's very difficult because you look back and say, I don't know how I would go on. I don't know how I would continue on doing what I'm doing for the Lord, even though my son or my daughter was taken. So when we entered into the memorial last night, it was a celebration. It was so powerful and anointed that I was shocked. To be very honest with you, I was shocked. In my mind and my wife's mind, we were thinking, I don't know how I would have done it. Just to sit there doing this service. There was so much praise and worship and so much presence. We had dignitaries from the city that came in and spoke on behalf of the Robles family. And it was amazing to see the posture and the poise of Pastor Robles. I'm probably one of the biggest crybabies you'll ever meet. I don't know if I would have been able to do what he did. My wife and I talked the whole way home after we left, to the point that we got lost on the way home. Honest truth. We talked like we just couldn't believe how Pastor Jimmy kept his sense of humor, kept his strength, and he is preaching this morning at his service and is going to do his daughter's funeral service. So that is faith that surpasses all understanding. That's a peace that resonates with inside of you that you wouldn't think you'd be able to do it, but in the time that you need to, you could call upon that peace. I was blown away. I just kept looking over at my wife, and there was, I don't think there was enough tissue in that building. They had overflow. It was so full. But the presence was so strong. And at the end of the actual many speakers, we had worship from the praise team. We had different rap artists come in and rap. And then this one woman came in. And she started singing in Spanish. My wife looked over at me. She says, uh-oh. Presence of God is here. And floodgates open. Very, very powerful. The altar call was phenomenal. There wasn't enough room to even stand in the altar. They were going down the aisles. And the whole church recited the sinner's prayer. If we get a paper cut. Oh, I ain't preaching today. I got a paper cut. But this type of tragedy continued with such force, with such a harvest, that people came to the service to celebrate her life. Her sister, her younger sister, said, Mom, Dad, I'm going to be strong for you. I was like, these people are something else. I looked over at my wife. I said, I'd have been at home. Just boo-hooing and crying. Eyes all puffy. But they held it together, didn't they, baby? Amazed. And the love that they put in that atmosphere was amazing. So I encourage you today, grab your children, grab your loved ones. Well, Pastor, I ain't got no no children. Grab your dog, grab your cat. I don't care what you get. But love on them. Amen. Pastor, I ain't got no domesticated animals. I got horses. We need to talk. We'll ride some horses. If you have your mom and you have your dad, go hug on them and love on them. Tell them how much you love them. Don't let a day go by. Don't let a day go by that they don't know. That they have to question. Some of you that are praying to have a baby, I prophesied to a young lady for many years that she would have a child of her own. Doctor said no. Many said it was impossible. But God said yes. I don't know who it is that's in this place that is desiring. Maybe you feel like you can't, but you will. You will. One of the miracles that I have witnessed over the time when I was trying to find my calling, if you would, went to go work at a restaurant. Was there only 2 weeks? 2 weeks. The Lord told me you're going to minister to 3 people. So I ministered to the first one on the second day of work. Prophetically, the word comes out. Boom. Describes to a T everything running from the call of God on his life. And this is where you've been. This is where you're at. And this is what God wants to do. Next thing I know, he's calling his wife. You got to come and meet this man. So it was like a setup. I never got out of the office much. Next thing I know, the next week, the wife comes in. Lord, tell her she's going to have a baby this time next year. She had already had a hysterectomy. She looked over at me and she said, mm-mm. I said, don't care what the doctor said. Don't care what kind of procedures have been done. You're going to have a child next year. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah, she has a baby girl right now that was happened to be born 1 year later after that prophecy was given. When the doctors say no, the real truth shows up on the scene. And he begins to speak to you what can be done. So I know that what I'm telling you that we are about to experience in the body of Christ, where many have said no, what the devil has said no, he may have knocked you down, but you're going to get it once again. You're going to look into the face of adversity. You're going to tell your circumstance, not today. Oh, I wish I had some real folk in the house. Not today. Oh, I'm just going to say it. We family in the house. But I wish I had some black folk in here that, you know how to have some church. And you know how to stand up and say, go on, Pastor. Tell it because ain't no more today. Now, thank you, Katrina. Thank you, Katrina. All right. Okay, some of you Anglo-Americans, y'all can get your praise on, too. Come on now, that's it. I'm going to get everybody, don't you think. And some of you Mexicanos in here, you should be sending a grito out right now. Why? Because I'm telling you that God is about to do something against what's been impossible is about to be made possible. Oh, now we're starting to get somewhere. The devil has been wreaking havoc in the body of Christ. Whew. He's done. Has he been messing with you? Has he been boxing with you? Pastor Robles said this, I didn't hear no bell. The fight ain't over. You may have knocked me down, but it ain't over. You ain't winning this battle. I'm still in the fight. I may be in a place in my life that it may look like I've been beat up so bad. My future looks a little gray at times. But if I just really look through all the cloudiness, on the other side of the storm and of the clouds, there is a light that is shining bright, that is telling me to come this way. Do not stagger, do not quit, but keep on coming this way. I just saw a boat that was cut, that was caught up like in some, what do you call those weeds? I ain't seaweed because they're in a, it's a, like a freshwater. Come on now, that's it. Some lily pads. You know how they come up? And it was caught up in the propeller. And that's what I've been seeing lately. And I was like, what is this? What is this? I told my wife, I'm going fishing. I guess that's what it is. I'm going fishing. But it seems like that you've been in your boat going somewhere, but something's got wrapped around your propeller. And it's been slowing you down. But I hear by the Spirit of God, I'm coming in to cut off what's been keeping you bogged down. Oh, this is a message of deliverance. This is a message of breakthrough. Are you hearing me? You're trying to figure out, what does my future hold for me? Oh, it's bright. It's better than you can ever imagine. It's something that you could only imagine, and it's even better than that. God is about to do something great. I believe that we are right now on the precipice of a revival in the city, and it's going to start with pockets of fire in different churches. Not denomination, but churches. What does that mean? It means that he's going to get into the Anglo churches. He's going to get into the African American churches. He's going to get into all kinds of churches across all denominations, and he's going to be first. Oh. Look to your neighbor and say, he's just trying to greet us. I said, he's just trying to greet us. I know what it is. I get up in this gym and it's like, you know what? Put on my sneakers. Because I'm about ready to get on the court. And I'm about to do what God has called me to do. I am a pastor by the calling, but I am a prophet by his very being. And when I get into a thing in the Bible, it begins to stir my spirit, begins to stir inside of me. Yesterday, I began this message and I said, Lord, I know you told me to teach on the parables, but there's something that is inside of me that's telling me there's a breakthrough that is on the horizon. Some of you that follow me on Facebook, I was getting stirred up. I said, there's something that is about to take place. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to get so religious that I feel that my sins have counted me out. I want to just know that the one that I serve looks into my soul and says, I know you. And I know your heart. He's not looking for a perfect. He's looking for a willing vessel. Because if he was looking for a perfect one, take me home, Lord. Just forget it, because we ain't ever going to get revival then. Because there ain't nobody perfect. Look to your neighbor and say, you ain't perfect. Yeah, look at y'all, do it real quick. Some of y'all do it with attitude, like, I told you weren't perfect. Y'all are something else. Tell them you got issues. Look. You got issues. Say it again. You got issues. But God is getting ready to deliver you. This is your hour of your breakthrough. All right now, all right, all right, all right. Come on now, somebody. Now you feeling me. Now the Spirit of God is beginning to move. You feel it in your spirit. Ha ha. I love it. Get your Bibles real quick. This is church. This is church. We're going to get in the Bible a little bit. It's church. Church. Turn to John chapter 4, the Gospel of St. John, chapter 4. Verses 10 through 14. Who's got it? Get a microphone out there. Who's got it? Raise your hand. Who's got it? Get over to Eric. Give it to Eric. All right. Look at here. Look at that. Look, fire's on your head right now. Fire's on your head, sir. I like that. Look at that. I like see. Like that, man. I love you, son. I love you. You got it, sir? Gospel of St. John, chapter 4, verses 10 through 14. Begin reading.
Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." She said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? You are not greater than our father Jacob, are you, who gave us the well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst, but the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life."
Say that last one again.
Eternal life.
No, that whole sentence.
Oh, "But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst, but the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up."
A well of water springing
up to eternal life.
Woo, I love it. All right, go to John chapter 14, verse 6. John chapter 14, verse 6. I just want to hurry up and get these out of the preliminaries out of the way, and then I want to get to my message. You'll go over 10 chapters. You got it? Good. All right, let's go. John chapter 14, verse 6.
Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." Oneness with the Father.
Amen. I am the way and the truth and the life. Did you get that? Some of y'all just make sure you were in the right church, because, you know, we'll make sure that we're here serving that God. Okay. I'll just make sure. All right. Now, if you would turn to Psalms 146. Psalms 146, verse 8. Eric, go to the Amplified Version. Psalms 146, verse 8. You got it?
Almost.
Paul, Josh. Pause the recording. Go ahead, sir. Yes.
"The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous, those upright in heart and in right standing with him."
Amen. Amen. Eric, thank you for the reading of the word. Lord, I just thank you right now as we turn this service over unto you. We ask you that you minister into the heart, into the souls of your people. Lord, we just thank you that your words have no boundaries, Lord. And I thank you that as we begin to declare in this atmosphere the breakthrough that is about to take place, Lord, I thank you right now, Father, that this prophetic word shall go forth and it shall permeate into the atmosphere and that it shall bring the harvest in its season. And I thank you for it now. Now, Father, let me decrease as you increase. You put the words in my mouth. Let them see you, hear you, and follow after you, God. We thank you for it now in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, amen. Hallelujah. Now I want you, if you would, I'm giving you all the scriptures right away, because I do have a tendency sometimes to just get started and forget to give you a scripture. Bad pastor. The same Gospel of John in chapter 5, I'm going to read verses 1 through 9 out of the NIV. Many of you know this story as the healing at the Pool of Bethesda. So, John chapter 5, verses 1 through 9 out of the NIV. "Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now, there is in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. Say 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, say a long time. Jesus saw him and knew he'd been in this condition a long time. He asked him, "Do you want to get well?" Verse 7, "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool. When the water is stirred, while I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jewish leaders said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." I want to begin to share with you what I believe that God is saying right now in this season is that whatever you've been going through for a long time, religious folks are not going to keep you down anymore. Whatever you've been battling against, whatever has been coming at you with such fierceness, the religious mindset is not going to help you. It's going to try to keep you bound. But on this day, you are about to experience freedom, breakthrough. Now, I want you to say it with me like you're excited. Is it me?
Is it me?
One more again.
Yes,
it is you. Is it me? Because what he is doing is I am about to visit you in your circumstance. We see that Jesus is coming into Jerusalem. He's coming into the area. And he begins to see all those that are blind, sick, lame, upset, mad, offended, church hurt, wounded, you know. Jealous, angry at pastor because he don't let him preach, and angry because you don't let me do such and such. You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes the blindness isn't that you can't see. Sometimes you don't want to see. And there was people there that were also that couldn't walk. The lame were there. My Bible reads a little different now, so don't get offended. My Bible says those are the ones that are lame that don't want to do nothing with themselves. They want to just, so we just lay around. The lame, you know, that they don't want to get ahead of the game. They want to continually stay back. The lame, the ones that always make excuses for everything because their life hasn't turned around. You know the lame that don't want to make change in their life because they're so used to being in their condition for so long. The lame. But then he says that there was a man that was invalid. He could not move. How many, does it say how many people got healed? It says one. Did Jesus heal him? They're not trick questions. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Who healed him? Read your Bible. Who healed the man? Sorry? Let's do a little role play. Let's do a role play because you. Let's do this. Let's do this. Okay, Eric. Let's see. Who's limber? Listen. Michael. Come over here, Michael. Come on here, Michael. Some of you on the podcast, like, what's going on? Oh, I'm going to explain it to you in detail. My son, Michael, is coming to the front. To the stage, and he's going to get down crisscross applesauce on the floor. See, now he's at the front of the stage, and then I'm going to bring over here Triton, come on over here, Triton, you're going to play Jesus, for the fire of God is upon your head right now. Oh, but wait. Let's get some other folks over here. Let's go. Come on, Kelly. Come on. Come on, sure. Come on, sure. Yeah. Come on, sure. Yeah, sure. Okay. You're blind. Okay, you can't hear. You're deaf. You're deaf. Okay. There you go. That was hilarious. Hear no evil, see no evil. Okay. Okay, now let's have somebody over here in the front also that just is lame. Just can't move. So, okay, Lionel. So now we've got two young ladies that are over here. One is blind. The other cannot hear. She's deaf. And then we have a lame man, Lionel, that is coming to the front. We have three individuals that are here. But it says that there was a multitude that was there at the altar. Right? Is that what it says? A multitude. That's it. Come on, Jennifer. She got it right away. Come on, Jennifer. There was a multitude. Just come on. There's a go. Come on. Some of y'all going to get this. And when you get this, there was a multitude. Now, Jesus happens to be coming in to the city. Now, come on, Jesus. Now, Jesus is going now into the city, and all these people have issues. They have something that they've been dealing with for a long time. Right? Don't tell the issue, but we all have them. We all got them. Now, here's Jesus walking through. Did he heal one over here? No. Did he heal these over here? Which one did he go to? Did he go to him? He heard how long he had been there. How long had he been there? 38 years. He was an invalid. But Kelly still has her eyes closed because she's blind. You're okay. Okay. Now, you would think that Jesus would come in and heal them all. But he didn't. He found the one, when he found out he'd been there 38 years, let's see, 8, 9, 10, 11. So you add 8 and 3 is 11. We call that a paradigm shift. Here's what I want you to see in this scripture. Jesus did not heal the man. What did Jesus say to the man who had been there 38 years? Oh, say it again.
Would you like to get well?
Say it again with authority.
Would you like to get well?
That was the same as the other one.
Right. Would you like to get well?
Same as the other one, too.
Would you like to get well? There you go. Would you like to get well?
All right. Hey, we family in here, all right? We family. Okay, so what does now the man... What was his name? Oh, so wait a minute. So it doesn't take a specific title for the man and for Jesus to come to him?
No.
Matter of fact, their name is not ever mentioned in the Bible about the man. So what is the excuse that the man gives to Jesus? Do you know the story?
I cannot walk.
Look at here. It said, verse 7 says this. Okay. I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. How many times do we tell God all of our excuses why we haven't gotten well? How many times when Jesus comes to us, do we give him an excuse why things haven't changed? Are you? How come Jesus didn't go to everybody else, but he comes to the one that couldn't help himself? Mm-hmm. So then he says, now watch what he says. I have no one to help me when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes in ahead of me. More excuses. that he's telling God, the one that can heal him. But watch what is so beautiful about what Jesus did. What did Jesus tell him to do?
Pick up your mat and walk.
Who healed him? Himself. Jesus did not lay hands. Jesus didn't pray. Jesus didn't in play in tongues. Jesus didn't say shabba shabba dabba dua. Jesus told what was inside of the man to get stirred inside, so that this way that the well that was already inside of him would come forth and would make him rise up. Now, you don't read this in the scriptures that everybody else that was there amongst the porch at the pool of Bethesda, you don't read that they got healed, but you read about a man that had been there for 38 years. You read about a circumstance that had someone enabled to do for themselves. My question is, how many times are you going to let someone take you to that spot and leave you and not help you stir your water? All right, now, for the sake of the purposes, y'all can be seated. Not you.
I was going to help him up.
Oh, okay. You can. The lame. Sit down there. Now, Jesus didn't lay hands on anybody, but Jesus came to him. Now, the first scripture that I had you read was in John chapter 4. When he is tired and he's thirsty, he goes to a well. He goes to a well and a woman comes to draw water. I love this about Jesus. He says, give me drink. But we don't quite look at it to understand that he's telling someone that should not be in his presence or even talking to him, give me something. Don't miss this. Jesus will always come to your circumstance and tell you, give me something that you don't have. Was addressing to her was, give me a drink. It don't matter whether you shouldn't be in my presence. It doesn't matter if you don't have what it takes to get the water out. But the real fact of the matter is, he's probably telling her, you don't understand. I don't need a bucket, even though it's so deep. I am the well. I'm the one that holds the living water. I am that water. I don't need to draw from that well. I am the well. See, when he comes to you, he's going to ask you to do something. Jesus always came and he asked questions either to his disciples, or he asked a question by way of a parable to the people that were listening. What did Jesus do in this particular story? He asked him, do you want to get well? Now I ask you, do you want your breakthrough?
Yes.
Do you want your breakthrough?
Yes.
Jesus, you can be seated at the right hand of the Father. The lame man picked up his mat and he walked. Not only did he walked and Jesus slipped away. He turned around, Jesus was nowhere around. Now watch, when Jesus comes to you, it is the well of life coming to you. It is the well of life. That's why when he asked the man, do you want to get well? Here comes all the Jesus. Oh, but you know, every time that the angel of the Lord comes to stir the waters, I can't get in because they beat me in there. Here comes all the excuses. They start coming up. God, every time I want to get to church, you know, the car breaks down or something. I don't have no clothes. They don't fit right. Go on a diet. Oh, I'm sorry. No, that's not God. God don't say that, right? He said, enlarge your territory. No, not that one. See, we make excuses why things haven't changed. But what he's saying is, do you really want to get well? Do you really want your breakthrough? Do you really want what has been plaguing you for so long to be over with? Do you really want what's inside of you now to come forth? See, what he was doing, he was questioning the one that couldn't do for himself so that those that were standing around that could walk, what is your reasoning for not jumping in? Do you understand? One with the blind would say, well, I can't find it. With the other one, I'm deaf, I can see. But if we would lean on one another, maybe we could get you to that place. The one that's lame that gives all the excuses, they don't want to do anything. Maybe the lame was the one that said, I'm perfect in all my ways. Don't think they need to be touched or healed. Don't think that there's something really wrong. But they're amongst those in that area that Jesus came to address the one that couldn't do for themselves. See, what was happening is Jesus came to the man and says, you don't need those waters to stir. I'm going to make the waters that I've already given you to stir inside of you. And how am I going to do that? I'm going to make you do for yourself. Never laid hands on him. Get up. Pick up your bed. That's what a mat was. Pick up your bed. Why a bed? How many times did we make ourselves comfortable in our mess? We're so comfortable being this way. I don't have to change. Oh, Lord. Come to church on every Sunday now and come to church on Thursday now. Make excuses why the message didn't penetrate into your heart. This is just the way I am. That's what you got to deal with. Now, I ain't got to deal with nothing. Messages go forth. You read the Bible. I mean, if you still don't want to change, you couldn't. Why? Is it because you feel like there's no change needed? Maybe you haven't realized that deep down inside, there's something blocking that well from coming up. Now, the well that Jesus went to with the Samaritan woman was Jacob's well. Now, Jacob, when he got these wells, do you remember in the story before where they used to plug up the wells? They used to clog up the wells, and they would clog them up with odors. They would stop the wells. So when Jesus comes to the Samaritan woman, the woman that should not be in his presence is the one that he says, give me a drink. What was he saying? I'm going to remove that boulder that keeps you away from me. She says, what are you doing here? And the worship is not here. The worship is in the mountain. He begins to establish once again that the worship is wherever you desire to be in my presence. You don't have to have it in a place of the four walls. If you don't have worship in your home, then you don't have him in your home. If you only have him within the four walls of the church, then you're not taking with you his presence. We need him everywhere we go. Take that boulder out of the way. Let the rivers of living water come forth. Let it come forth. You have something going on in your home right now, whether it be your children, your marriage, whether it be just some things going on in your finances or even in your health. Ask God, what is stopping my well from flowing? What is stopping my well from flowing? And he will reveal to you what is stopping the well from coming up forth. Remember when we used to go to Garner State Park when I was a little kid? And we used to get all those rocks, and we used to make those little pools for us. And all the little kids were supposed to stay in that one area. Except. Bad. I know. It's just bad. I would always go beyond the borders. I'd always go and try to look for a bigger rock to put so I could help build for all the little kids because I didn't need it. I knew how to swim. But there's some things in life that would take your feet from right underneath you. What are you going to do then? Are you going to wait? I'm waiting on the Lord. You're going to drown? See, many times we go through stuff in our life and it takes their feet from right underneath us. When we were trying to make a safe place, you lose your footing. What do we do when we've been knocked down? Just seven times a man shall fall, but how many times will he rise? Seven times he'll rise again. So he said, every time you're going down, you're going to get right back up. Every time you go down, something knocks you down, you're going to get back up.
Amen.
Every time you feel like the devil is trying to take you out, you're going to get right back up. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Every time he comes at you, whether it be year after year, year after year, you're going to get up. He came to the man that had been going through this for a long time. When he found out how long, he's like, enough is enough. You ain't going to be in this situation anymore. I'm not going to wait for the waters to stir. I'm going to stir you up so that you can heal yourself and change your circumstance. I'm coming to you. When I began to read that yesterday morning, I said, Lord, you're about to show up. You are about to show off. You are about to establish your kingdom. The kingdom is to be established within our hearts and our spirit and our mind, where it comes in connection with his heart. And then we can begin to go about doing what he called us to do. Amen. He's coming to you, even though you've had an issue for a long time. A long time. Don't matter what it looks like. Doesn't matter what you've been going through. Whatever excuse you want to give, you know. Lord, I try to be a good pastor. I try to encourage. I try. The pool of Bethesda. Bethesda translates the house of mercy. The house of mercy. How many of us are crying out for mercy right now? Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on me. Reminds me of blind Bartimaeus. When Jesus is walking by, Jesus knew he was blind, but didn't come to him. Why? Because in this particular story of Jesus, he is walking past Bartimaeus. And as he's walking past Bartimaeus, Bartimaeus continues to cry out, Jesus, Jesus. And every time he would cry out, Jesus, all those religious folks try to keep him quiet. You cannot disturb the master. And every time they kept trying to shush him, he kept on screaming even louder, Jesus, Jesus. And then watch this. Then he says, Bartimaeus says, Son of David, have mercy on me. What he did is address his kingdom. He addressed him as his kingly anointing. And he realized inside of him, he knew who he was. He was crying out for the one that reigned and ruled over his kingdom. His kingdom. Put your hand on your heart. This is your kingdom. God, this is your kingdom. Your kingdom come, your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. You're about to stir up heaven inside of you. And it's about to change some things. It's about to increase in your life. It's about to bring so much joy and happiness in your life that once you had been struggling in that area, you've been trying to put things together to make it happen, make it fit, and make it last. God says you're about to come into a place of increase where there will be some left over for you, and you'll be able to enjoy the end with even more. You've been having a watch from paycheck to paycheck, from money to money to bills. And at the end, you're saying, where is it? But you're stepping into where there's will be an overflow and excess for you. You will be able to get away. Thank you, Jesus. And enjoy some time away. Rest, beloved, rest. Your heart has been troubled. Your mind has been racing. Rest, beloved, because I know that I am coming unto you to tell you, stir up the waters. Stir up the waters. Do not leave what I have given you to be dormant, but stir it up. Because out of your mouth shall flow rivers. of living water, you will see such a change and such a peace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming onto the scene and he's saying to him, everything in your life has been on hold. Everything that you've been going on, you've been dependent on others and it's been on hold. When you depend, oh, Jesus, thank you. When you depend on the medication more than you're depending on him, he knows it that you need it for where you're at right now. But there comes a moment in time where he steps in and says, enough is enough. Stir it up inside of you. Your faith will make you whole. The woman with the issue of blood for 12 years. It's funny how Jesus begins to allow the Holy Spirit to allow it to be pinned how long they've been in their circumstance. They've spent all that they could spend. They gave everything that they could. In their very last ditch effort, they said, I need to touch Jesus. Press through the press. She touched the hem of his garment. He didn't lay hands on her to be healed. He didn't even know that she was about to touch him. Some of you theologians said, God knows all things. Jesus turned around and said, who touched me? Why does he ask a question when virtue is about to be released? What do you need? Is what he's asking you. That's when he says, I will supply all of your needs. The press is there to keep you away from him, but will you press through the press? Will you continue on with everything trying to keep you from getting yours? You have got to see it. Doesn't matter what it looks like. You are about to experience the very touch of Almighty God. You are about to experience virtue being released. You will experience joy once again. It's not about a religious mindset. It's about a relationship that is deep down in your heart that says, that is my God, you can't keep him from me. I'm going to press through till I get a hold of him. It don't matter if I'm in a wine press. It doesn't matter if I'm on a threshing floor. I'm about to get what I need to give. You're not going to keep me here no more. If I can't get to him, then he's going to come to me. Woo! Hallelujah! I imagine the man that was sitting there for 38 years and said, is this me? Is this all I'm going to be? Is this me? Is this all I will ever do? Is this me? Is this my identity? The man for 38 years that was an invalid. Is this me? What has life marked you as? What has life labeled you as? Is this me? He questions. How many times do we question ourselves on what we're going through? Is this me? I know you have something greater for me, but is this me right now? What do you have for me later that I can't see? Is this me? Is this all I'm going to be? Is this all I'm going to live through? Is this all the pain in my life that I have to endure to the very end? God, I don't want to live in this state of being anymore. I can't be this way all the time. And the Bible said that once a year the angel would come. And this time the true light came. He says, I am the truth, the way, and the life. See, he came in at that moment as the angel of God. He stepped in and said, I'm coming to you. And I'll make change in your life. The worst circumstance, that's who I'm going after. The one that you feel like you can't do it. He said, let me do it for you. Let me be your daddy. Let me be your Abba Father. Let me be the one that will say, I got you, baby. I got you. Let me find the worst circumstance and I will make change. Hallelujah. Let me find the one that they said the doctors can't heal. Let me be the one that will heal them. If they said AIDS has no cure, I'm the one that's the cure. I'm the truth. And I will heal. I will deliver and I will redeem. This is the hour of your breakthrough. This is your hour where he draws nigh unto you. He draws unto you. Draw unto the beloved of God and know that he's come on your behalf. He is coming to you. He's making change. He is a way maker. He is the Lion of Judah. He is roaring against your adversity. He is standing strong. He is still at the right hand of the Father. He is interceding for you. You are standing because he's still standing. He will stand for his children and say, no more. No more. Enough is enough. The devil has played with your mind too long. They say you got chemical imbalances. No, no. He says, I'm the truth. I'm the way. And I give you life. I give you life. Huh. Hallelujah. 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 Worship him. Worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You may not understand what you're going through. You may not see an end. But God says, I am Alpha and I am Omega. I am your beginning and I am your end. I am the one that will make a way out of your no way. I will make every crooked path straight. I will step in when you can't step no more. And when you're knocked out, I will lift you up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, he's good. He's good. And his mercy endures forever. Forever. Why does it endure forever? Because we need mercy. We need his touch. I can't do it by myself. I'm just a man. But God says, I have made you more than a man. I've made you more than a conqueror. You're not just a woman. I made you in my image. The kingdom of God lives inside of you. He says, you can call upon me and I shall answer. Knock. My God. And I will open the door. He said, but when I knock, you open the door. There's an angel standing right behind me to the right of my shoulder to declare unto you the message from the throne of heaven. He says, whatever has been fighting against you that you could not even see a war, he says, I'm here to fight for you on your behalf. I have drawn my sword. I have drawn my shield. My shield will guard you, but my sword will defeat your adversary. It don't matter what principality has come, because greater is he that is in you. Greater than he that is in the world. There is some change that has taken place. This is your breakthrough. This is your hour of visitation. This is your hour of habitation. This is your hour when everything has come against you. You can look back. Enough is enough. If he did it for one, he'll do it for me. He is not a respecter of person. He says, I love one, I love them all. You may be the one that says, I have sinned. He says, I've come for the sinner. But I'm sick. I came for the sick. But Lord, I stand in righteousness. It's because of my righteousness, you're righteous. You can't do nothing unless I give you the breath inside your lungs to breathe. This is your breakthrough. This is your hour. That whatever held you back has been broken and shattered into pieces. And you will experience even greater, greater. When they said that you would never, God says you're about to. When you didn't understand what was next, he says, I've got the next step ordered for you. I don't know how I'm going to make it. He says, I've already made it out for you. I don't know what is on the horizon. He says, oh, it's brighter. It's your brighter day.
It's your happy day that's right on the other side of that horizon. You will never be alone again. You will never cry out in the night. You will never feel what you've been feeling. You will know that you are going to be loved by the lover of all lovers. I am going to visit you like never before. I'm going to embrace you with my loving arm. I'm about to shower you with blessings. I'm about to shower you with my love. And you're going to know that if they don't mount up to who I am, they don't have no business in your life. You are my beloved, says God. You are the apple of my eye. When I look upon you, I smile. God says that everything that you've been going through, beloved, is only building even more of the depth of your faith to even root down even deeper. But you're about to see your harvest, beloved. You're about to see your harvest, says the Spirit of the living God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! Is this me? Is this me? By way of question, or is it an exclamation saying, this is me? He said, what was once a question is now a statement. This is who he made me to be. What you once knew me as, I am no longer anymore. Because something has just happened that made me rise up. And I got rid of the thing that I became comfortable in. I'm no longer going to be in my comfort zone. I'm going to be stretched. And I'm going to stand. And I'm going to continue to walk in the very thing that he's called me to walk in. Woo. Hear the very Spirit of God telling you one thing. I come to you. I have come to visit you in this place. I'm coming into your dwelling place. I'm coming into your bedroom. I'm coming into your heart. I'm coming into your well. I'm about to release the living water so that you can be encouraged. Do not lose hope. Hear the very Spirit of God begin to minister to you. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I heard that. I heard that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Have your way, Holy Ghost. Have your way. On the playlist there on the Mac, there's an instrumental on there. Put that instrumental. Joseph Rommel's in less than 24 months. Your daddy is going to come and tell you this. In less than 24 months, Joseph, this is that. What I told you about, that you even gave hope in, you gave up. I gave up. But this is that. Manifestation is coming for you, Dad. Manifestation. The heaviness of debt will be wiped away. The heaviness of being alone will be no more. You will no longer worry for him. You will celebrate because your heart has been heavy for him. You don't even want to ask, you want to give because you're tired of seeing him struggle. And I hear by the very Spirit of God, less than 24 months, he's going to tell you this is that. And it'll be turned around. And you'll see the dad that you once knew, happy and full of joy. Not because he has to, but because he wants to. I minister that to you, son, because I know your heart. And I know where your spirit is. Fear not. Fear not. Thank you, Jesus. The move for your baby is good. The move for your baby is good. It's been hard for her. She's experiencing something that she can't explain. And he's coming to visit her. And what has plagued them in that hallway will be no more. there'll be such a peace once again. The move is good. The move is good. I release that in the atmosphere. I know it to be true. By the Spirit of God, it's good because He's called it to be.